When Yusuf alayhi salam was in the prison and he spoke to two prisoners who told them about his dream, told them about their dreams. Immediately, he let them know and informed them that one of them was going to pass away and be executed, and the other one was going to be saved and going to be working in close proximity to the Aziz, the king. Now, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam said to the one that was going to go free. And in it, there's a very important lesson. Allah Ta'ala mentions, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال للذي ظن أنه ناج منهما. He said to the one who he knew would be freed, اذكرني عند ربك. Mention me to your master. What does this imply? I want you to tell the master, tell the Aziz about my situation. Let him know that I was unjustly imprisoned and that I don't belong here and that this is wrong. Let him know about my case so that he can re-examine my situation and free me. And then Allah Ta'ala says something which is really fascinating, because this next sentence can be understood in two different ways. And both ways are true, and both ways paint, you could say, two halves of the picture to give the complete concept. Allah Ta'ala says what? فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. That shaitan made him forget his Rabb. Now who is this referring to? Two different interpretations. One interpretation is that shaitan made Yusuf, him being Yusuf, forget his Lord. And that is referring to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, he was depending entirely on the means. He said to himself, I have a plan, and my plan is going to work, inshallah. Well, this is the point that he forgot to mention, inshallah. He said, my plan is going to work. I'm going to tell this servant is going to talk to the Aziz, and then the Aziz is going to free me. And then he forgot to say, let's say, inshallah, or bismillah, or perhaps the concept of what? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That nothing will take place without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can change and nothing can improve. Nobody has any power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so subhanAllah, that's one interpretation. The other interpretation is what? That shaitan made him, the servant, forget to mention to his master. As in, he forgot to mention to the king, to the Aziz. And both come together to mean what? That because Yusuf alayhi salam was depending upon the means and forgot to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of that, the servant forgot to talk to the Aziz. And as a result of that, what happened? Therefore, because of that, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. He remained in the prison for a number of years. Now, why does Allah say bid'ah, several years, somewhere between 3 and 9? This word bid'ah means somewhere between 3 and 9. Obviously, Allah knows how long he remained, by the year, by the hour, by the minute. So why would Allah say it vaguely? The wisdom here is to emphasize what? The fact is that this was not a proper shari'i court where the ruler pays close attention to the inmates and makes sure that their rights are taken care of. That rather, these are people that have been forgotten about. Because we know that in Islam, the prisoner has rights, has to be taken care of, and this fosters an environment of justice and rehabilitation. But this, unfortunately, was a situation where they threw somebody in a hole and they, you know, locked them away and threw away the key, as the expression goes. How many years has he been there? I don't know, bid'a asineen. He's been there for a while. He's been there for several years. So even the language demonstrates what? This is somebody who has been forgotten. SubhanAllah. But that's the side point. The main emphasis is what? That even a prophet, subhanAllah, even a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, can have this moment, this lapse of judgment, where what happens? For just an instance, you depend upon the means. You are thinking that this will happen because my plan is airtight. I just helped this guy out. I just gave him good news. He's definitely not going to forget about me. He's going to talk to the king. The king is going to check out my situation. I think I'm going to be okay. You depend upon the means and forget that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control. So if even Yusuf alayhi salam can have this one moment, then what about us? Then what about us? How often do we forget? How often are we deceived? How often do we put our trust in the means, in the world around us, what we see and what we hear, and forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control over everything? What does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean when you say La ilaha illallah? What does it mean to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It means that my eyes may see something or my ears may hear it, but at the end of the day, this may be true or may not be true, but I know that Allah is in full control. And this is necessary to keep in your heart and to remember Allah constantly and to fortify this thought. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ says what? سَبَقَ الْمُفَرِّدُونَ, that the Mufarridun have gone ahead, have superseded. And then they ask, the Sahaba, they ask, قَالُوا وَمَا الْمُفَرِّدُونَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who are these people, these Mufarridun? What does this mean? And it means those who are remarkable. It means those who are who have distinguished themselves and stood out. How have they gone ahead? Who are these people, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet says, who are they? قال الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات. They are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot from amongst the men and the women. The male and the female, men and women who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. Who are always looking at the world and saying, I am where I am. I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing. The good and the bad. Whatever is taking place, all of it is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. This is what we learn when we understand the various stories of prophets in the Quran. This does not mean that we deny the means. Of course we take the means. Of course we do our best to, as the hadith says, tie your camel and do your best to use whatever means are available to you. But at the end of the day, you recognize 100% that this will only work and will only fail based on Allah's will. So yes, we affirm that fire burns, and we have no doubt in that. But we know that fire burns because Allah Ta'ala allows for the fire to burn, and the moment that Allah Ta'ala does not want this fire to burn, then just like when Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into a fire, it did not burn him. Every moment that you see water pouring down, flowing down the path of least resistance, we know that Allah Ta'ala is in full control, and the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want this water to flow, it will not flow, as in the instance of Musa alayhi salam when the water parted. When we hear these narrations, we think to ourselves, these are just stories. These are just historical accounts that took place in the past. As opposed to looking at them as lessons. How is it a lesson? Where, in what way is it a lesson? How can I implement it? Where is the action item? How can I implement this lesson? There is a way. There is a way to live by these narrations and these stories from amongst the Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam. What is it? It's to make sure that every single time you grab a pill in the morning, and you're going to drink it with your morning cup of whatever you drink, milk or water, whatever the case is, that you look at that pill for a second, and you don't just out of a habit say Bismillah. Rather, you say Bismillah with full conviction and understanding that only with Allah's name is this going to do any good. Yes, of course, alhamdulillah, there are many doctors in the room, alhamdulillah. So yes, of course, we go by the means. Yes, of course, we study medicine to the best of our ability. Yes, of course, we try our best to make sure that what is in the pill is the thing that is most effective to cure the disease or to stop the suffering or to stop the pain, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, you have to look at this pill and say, I know for a fact that it's only going to work if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to work. And at the same time, I could be cured without it. If Allah wants, I could throw away the pill, and subhanAllah, Allah can fix me any way He wishes. And if He doesn't wish for me to get cured, and doesn't wish for me to feel better, then I could take 1,000 of these, and I could have hundreds and thousands of different physicians and specialists trying to fix me, and it's never going to work. This is what it means when you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no change, and there is no power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you make these stories a reality in your own life. This is how you implement these realities. By doing what? By looking at the means and saying, you're only going to work if Allah permits. Same thing with every time you go to the doctor. Same thing with every time you go to the mechanic. Yes, you try to go to somebody who has the most speciality. Yes, you try to go to somebody who has experience. But at the end of the day, you say, I know my car is only going to get fixed if Allah wills. And perhaps most relevant to us today is what? They're spreading out this vaccine. And alhamdulillah, I'm hopeful that they put as much man hours and as much brains and as much minds into this to make sure that they tried their best to make sure that this vaccine is going to work. But at the end of the day, if you go to get that shot, you should look at that syringe and say, this is only going to work. This is only going to make me feel better. This is only going to protect me. If what? If Allah wills. And if Allah Ta'ala does not will, then they can give me 1,000 of these. They can give me all sorts of different things, and it's never going to have a difference. This is what it implies when we read the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. That at the end of the day, you never forget that Allah Ta'ala is the one who is in control. This is why we make the dua every morning. After Salat al-Fajr and after Maghrib 3 times, you're supposed to make this dua. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. سبحان الله. Over and over again, I have people come to me and say, I have problems. I don't know. I think maybe a jinn this or al ayn hasad this. Somebody gave me a look. Maybe something is bad is happening to me. I don't know what's happening. What can I do? And so I'm giving this answer to everybody in one shot. So inshallah ta'ala, we all understand that you have to, in the morning, after Salat al-Fajr and after Salat al-Maghrib, in the evening, three times you say, what? Bismillah alladhi. In the name of Allah, who? لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. In the name of Allah, who? With His name, nothing can cause harm on earth nor in the heavens, and He is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. We live in a society where, subhanAllah, there are so many images that are being presented to us. So many different people are trying to prove and demonstrate that they have everything under control, that they're the ones that are in control. When you watch politicians, vote for me. Why? Because I have the solutions. I know how to fix the situation. I'm going to make the world a better place. SubhanAllah, these people don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. They have no idea. Yes, of course, some of them are more specialized than others. And yes, of course, we try our best to find the best politician, perhaps. But at the end of the day, what do you know? You know for a fact that these people are just as helpless as me or you or anybody else. At the end of the day, we are not in full control. Only Allah Ta'ala has full control. And so over and over again, we are being exposed to these images and these people making false promises. And how many year after year you find politicians making promises and then breaking those promises. I have full control and they never live up to it. I can solve this and they don't solve anything. This is on the political side. Then when you look at social media, you have more pretenders and fakers and liars doing what? All this social media influencers, all these, I don't know, celebrity cultural icons, if you will, putting up all this information online, saying what? Demonstrating what? I have a perfect life. My life is always great. I have everything under control. I've figured everything out. My life is awesome. Why? Because every image they take, every angle is perfect. Always the lighting is great. All the images have been filtered. Everything is designed to present perfection to you. And there's a strong correlation between high social media consumption and depression. Why is that the case? Because when young people are spending all of their days looking at all these people lying, pretending that their lives are perfect, they start to assume, I'm the only one who hasn't figured life out. I'm the only one who hasn't understood how to get my life in order. Everybody else has figured it out. Everybody else is basically doing great. Everybody else is perfect. I'm the only one that's suffering. And so no wonder you find that young kids are so depressed or even suicidal. Why? Because they're spending all day just drinking up all these lies. And then they get older and then they start believing the lies of politicians. SubhanAllah. What is the answer to all of this? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us in response to all of this? Allah tells us a very powerful statement, commanding the Prophet ﷺ to say these next words. قُلْ O Muhammad ﷺ, say these next words. And by extension, all of us need to say these words.
قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Say these words in response to all these politicians who pretend that they have the power and they know exactly what to do. Tell them what?
O Allah, you are the owner of sovereignty and kingdom and dominion. You give sovereignty to whom you will, and you take sovereignty away from who you will.
And as for all the social media influencers and people pretending that they are so honorable and they have life figured out, you say to Allah, you are the one who honors who you will, and you humble and disgrace who you will. In your hands is all good, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the one who is in full control, not us. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, you have power over all things. This is the attitude of the believer. That you look out into the world and there's lots of people promising lots of things. There's lots of people pretending that they have self-sufficiency. They have full control. And in a certain way, it's almost as if they're presenting themselves as something to be dependent upon, something to put your trust in, almost like a idol, like an ilah. Lots of different aliha. The believer is the one who is skeptical about all this. La ilaha, I don't buy any of this. I don't buy any of you are in charge. I don't buy that any of this has any power. Illallah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in control. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has power in this situation. This is what it means when you say, La ilaha illallah. This is what is implied by, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. That whoever disbelieves in طاغوت, rejects all these false idols, rejects all these false promises, and knows that nothing has any power, but you believe in Allah, that's the only one, then you have held on to a trustworthy rope and handhold.
So yes, we need to disbelieve in all the means that claim self-sufficiency and know fully well that only Allah Ta'ala is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And that whatever good happens to us or whatever bad happens to us at the end of the day, we are all Ibadullah. We are the slaves of Allah. And we take the good and the bad as such in full submission to Allah Ta'ala. And I'll continue in the second khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sami kathiran. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah.
Just a quick narration. Even though the narration itself is in Sahih Bukhari and it is a lengthy narration, I just want to summarize it by mentioning it, paraphrasing. It's a beautiful narration from Abu Huraira. He's describing his own story once he was with, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he's describing how, he's saying that I used to get so hungry because he would work sometimes, but then sometimes he just wouldn't have any means. He says, I used to get so hungry that I would have to lie on my stomach just to feel the pressure of the ground, just to alleviate some of the pain of hunger. And sometimes, he said, one time I was trying to start a conversation with different Sahaba that were kind of moving by, and just asking them questions about different ayat. Hey, do you know the interpretation of this verse or that verse? And deep down, he wasn't really interested in talking about those ayat. He just wanted them to notice him and say, hey, are you okay? And do you need some help? And because he was really in a bad state. So he's mentioning this. And then he says, the Prophet ﷺ comes by and he tries to start this conversation. And then he says, what? فَتَبَسَّمَ حِينَ رَآنِي وَعَرَفَ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَمَا فِي وَجْهِي. That the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said that he knew exactly what was in my heart and in my face. Like he could see what the situation was. Like, you want to talk to me, but really, you need help. So the Prophet ﷺ invites him and says, come to my house. And Abu Hurairah anhu, he goes into the home after they seek permission, make sure that they're not intruding unannounced. They come in, they sit down, the Prophet ﷺ asks and finds out that somebody has brought a gift of some milk, a jug of milk. And so you have to keep in mind that at that time, we're not talking about skim milk where it's so thin that it's like water. We're talking about like it's thicker, right? It's like a full meal. And so subhanAllah, he's very excited, he's very happy. He's like, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, finally I get to have a proper meal, drink this full bottle, inshallah, and I'll finally feel satiated. And so as he's expecting this to happen, the Prophet says, I want you to go gather Ahlul Sufa. Ahlul Sufa were the people who used to spend time on the outside of Masjid al-Nabawi. Masjid al-Nabawi had the Musalla area, and then it had a sort of, you could say, outer courtyard, where people would spend time there, they would sleep there, and you know, the community would take care of them. Anybody who was a wafer, anybody who was down on, you know, not working, anybody who just wanted to stay there, it was like an open space, and sometimes people would be come with and give, generously give some food or whatever the case is. So he's thinking, all the people at Ahlul Sufa, there's a lot of them. So now he's narrating the hadith, and he's saying, now I was nervous. I'm like, am I supposed to go call these people and share this milk with all of them? If I'm the one serving and I give to everybody, there's gonna be nothing left. So he's feeling pretty nervous about this, and what happens? So the Prophet says, yes, خُذْ فَأَعْطِهِمْ. Take this and go give it to them. He's thinking, okay, great. So he goes and he starts pouring the milk for one inside of a cup or bowl, and they drink. And he gives to the next. One, two, three. Keeps pouring, keeps giving. And subhanAllah, the milk isn't running out. Over and over and over again, the milk is not running out. To the point that everybody in the Ahlul Sufa, they get satiated and they get satisfied. And he still finds that there's some left. He goes back to the Prophet, ya Rasulullah, I gave it to everybody. He goes, okay, now it's your turn. You take. So he pours for himself into a container and he drinks. He says, do it again. Drink, take some more. Pour some more. Drinks. Take some more. He keeps going until finally he says, ya Rasulullah, three, four, however many times. He finally drank so much. He says, ya Rasulullah, I'm satiated. I took to my fill. Then the Prophet takes the bottle, drinks it, and finishes it himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a beautiful narration that teaches us what? My eyes may see and my ears may hear, but at the end of the day, I have trust in Allah. We take the means, but at the end of the day, we recognize that ultimately Allah Ta'ala has full control. And therefore, when it comes to obedience, obedience comes first. How this situation is going to play out, Allah knows. I have to obey first. If I obey and get myself into a situation, that's okay. Why? Because Allah has full control of the situation, and I accept whatever consequences may come. Obedience comes first. Dealing with the consequences, that comes second. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who understand that Allah Ta'ala is in full control. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who look at this world and can see the means. And we live by the means, but at the end of the day, we know that they only function through the permission of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala can change the means in any way He wishes. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وقنا شر ما قضيت، فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يذل من واليت، ولا يعز من عاديت، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. تسليم كثيرة، وأقم الصلاة.